Here we go again. What is up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Knee on Belly Podcast. We are your host, Nate.
Big dog, big J Bone dog, John.
I don't even know how to follow that.
Yeah. I feel like there was a big dong in there. So.
Well, Brandino. I just keep it trail, dog.
And Brandino, I love it. Well, this week, guys, we got a little bit to talk about. We'll be running through last night's UFC fight night, Leon Edwards versus Bilal Muhammad. We'll take a look ahead and give you our picks and predictions for this coming week's UFC fight night, Derek Brunson versus Kevin Holland, plus all the news and happenings happening in and around the world of combat sports. But first, what's up, boys?
What's up?
Just springing forward, you know what I'm saying?
Springing, yeah.
Most of you guys probably don't know about that, but...
But yeah, daylight savings, right? Yeah, we lost an hour last night.
I didn't even realize that.
How are you? Woke up. You didn't? Mm-mm. I was telling him, after the fights last night, I had got on... I played Formula One, big F1 guy now, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Big F1 guy. So I was playing Formula One, so I played for like an hour... And I was like, it's like 12:30. I'm like, I'm just getting stupid tired now. Mm-hmm. And so I went and laid down and I was like, I'll watch this episode on Netflix. So I watched the episode and I get done with it and it's 2:15 in the morning. I'm like, what just happened? I told him I like completely spaced the time. Like I didn't know. Right. I kind of thought it happened like tonight. And I didn't know it happened like last night.
But in your like time, dude, just escapes you.
I told him, I was like, what just happened? Like, I thought I like entered into like a time warp or something.
Yeah. That's happened to me with the spring forward and the fall back. Like, if I'm not thinking about it, I'd be like, no. It was just like 11. Why? How are we at 10?
Dude, I even like what clicked to make sure. And the episode was like 48 minutes. And I'm like, what? It, like, because I'm like, was that just like a longer episode?
And that's when you got to get up and go look at your stove. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Stoves,
They get changed last.
They do not, yeah. So, anyways, anything happen this week? Anybody finally do something dangerous or illegal? Ooh, better yet, did you learn anything new this week, Brandon?
Ooh. I mean, I'm always learning.
I know. That's why I'm asking.
But here's the thing. The stuff I learned about is probably not very interesting to you guys. So,
give us one. Give us an example.
The listeners want to know.
Yeah. Give us
one. Seriously, this is going to be...
No, come on. Okay.
Give us one.
So, the book I'm reading right now, it's written by a neurobiologist or a neuropsychologist. He also has an MD, and he's making the argument that ADHD does not exist. Not a real disorder. Ooh. And he's got an argument that he lays out, and I'm going through it now.
So...
Piece by piece.
Okay. So I'm assuming you're not done.
No, I'm on chapter 4.
So going into it, did you think it was a real thing, or are you kind of like, oh, I didn't think it was a real thing either, so let me check it out?
Obviously, given the nature of my job, mental health counselor, mm-hmm. I obviously I'm of the mindset of, okay, that's a disorder, it's in the DSM, mm-hmm. I understand the criteria, but a lot of this stuff is decided on by panels, groups of people, mm-hmm. and so like the idea that somebody was against it's not surprising, but to come from an MD, a guy with all the background that he has, it's kind of interesting because he has a lot of good points so far. He does,
yeah.
So far, I'm in line with it.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, keep us posted.
I will.
I'm interested now.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't have anything that cool. That's a hard thing to follow, knowledge wise.
Well,
I didn't learn anything nearly as interesting.
Not a lot of people like to spend their free time learning about what may or may not be a real disorder in the world. Like, I get that that's not super interesting. Yeah. But
I'm just trying to learn how to like switch gears on my F1 car on my video game. So,
jeez, just completely taking a whole turn.
Well, I'm a big F1 guy. What do you expect?
Yeah, just waiting on you to start wearing Ferrari.
No, he's about to trade in the truck. Is what's going to happen.
We F1 guys, you know, we keep it serious.
Wow.
Yeah, when I play, I wear my gloves. You know. It's serious.
You know, what's going to happen is we're going to come in here and he's going to have the pedal and the wheel.
Oh, dude.
Oh,
I've already been pricing him.
Yeah. You're going to just got to buy the whole like race car setup.
Stimmy. Hit my account. Awesome now, too. Hit that account once that stimmy hits.
He's going to get, what was it, Driving in the USA, the arcade game?
Yeah. Probably best thing I learned this week is actually what Jacob showed us Thursday. It was jiu-jitsu related.
What was it?
So it was it's actually really nasty. I don't know. So you like in the north south position, mm-hmm. you get there if you're on top and you kind of go over the arm and you grab the back of the gi and then you kind of go back to side control, but you pull the guy up on his side. So you're like really digging your weight down into him. Mm-hmm. And then you mm-hmm. can kind of reach over with your other hand and do a like kind of paper cutter.
Yeah. Has he shown you guys the gi choke from there where you do a somersault?
No. Oh. But probably better.
I'd probably be really good at it.
Yeah. Yeah, John would be excellent.
Listen, I do the headstand pass, and it's...
I'm like falling in love with the gi.
I've always said that too.
I'm kind of like, I don't know, dude. I'm on like a really big like gi choke thing right now where like if I'm going in a gi, that's kind of just more what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
I'm not quite there yet.
Once you get past the frustration of the gi, yeah. Like if you're used to no gi, then it becomes really fun.
Yeah.
It's like a whole new game.
Yeah. It's kind of where I'm at with it, honestly.
I'm not quite there yet. They started teaching that because I'd ask them about that paper cutter choke, because I just haven't got shown a lot. Either mm-hmm. it's not being able to go to seminars or just the days I go or when Kyle's like, hey, let's do an inverted somersault ankle pick. And I'm like, okay, guess I'm going to get stretched out and not be able to do something for 45 minutes and then roll. But I don't really have a lot of interesting thing. I got four Saturday for the first time this year. So that's
welcome to the club.
Is this going
to
be a thing, what we learn each week?
I don't know. I just, we can be.
I did watch.
You guys don't do anything dangerous. So
I will say this. I did learn that the first two episodes of WandaVision were actually recorded in front of a live audience.
It's pretty cool. Home Improvement style.
Yeah. Well, just like Dick Van Dyke and all the shows that they kind of went over, they put out a behind the scenes of WandaVision on Disney+.
Socially distanced, I hope.
Not at the time. Or maybe they had to get vaccines. I don't know. I don't. Well, you got to think everything got pushed back. I'm
just
joking.
So I really care less. I was just joking. Totally joking.
But one fun fact is, for those black and white episodes, Vision was painted blue because it shows up better in black and white than red.
Oh, okay. I could see that.
Because they found out from back in the day that when people would wear red, it just really wouldn't be very vibrant. So to imitate kind of that.
Kind of show the difference of the ladies skin back tone in the day, from this clothes or whatever. Yeah.
Ladies back in the day, instead of wearing like red lipstick on black and white shows, they'd wear blue because it shows up better.
You learn something new every day.
Boom.
Look at that. Knowledge, baby. Knowledge.
Knowledge.
I'm watching.
College knowledge.
College knowledge. Speaking of college knowledge, I'm watching Last Chance U Basketball on Netflix.
On my watch list.
It's.
I was gonna ask, are they gonna do like other sports?
So they've done football four. No, I think they did two in Mississippi So they've done four of football. They just started basketball. Dude, I'm telling you, I want to see the wrestling.
Yeah, I was gonna say
I want to see
that.
It now.
I can see baseball too.
Can see baseball. Yeah, dude, JUCO baseball is huge. JUCO basketball, that was kind of interesting because JUCO basketball is so much bigger than football. Mm-hmm. I mean, you always hear about JUCO guys coming over, but. Man, I'm four episodes in, and it is... I think I texted him yesterday, and I was like, you might want to, like, have a bowl of, like, spicy food to, like... If you need, like, a good alibi for some tears, because the third episode is heavy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, their stories are just crazy.
It's yeah.
Yeah, I saw the... You know how when you go onto an episode of anything, it'll show you, like, a little soundbite or a little clip of it? I mm-hmm. saw the clip for it with, like, one of the coaches yelling, and I was like, oh, this is going to have to be... I'm
dude, gonna watch this. The coach is awesome. I think... He's probably like one of my favorite coaches because I think sometimes when you get kids that are coming from certain environments, what we've seen on the like two football is the two head coaches. It's like I feel like when you have to tell somebody like, oh, I know he's really laying into him, but he really loves these guys. I promise. And it's like, you can see the difference with this guy. Like, no, he really cares about mm-hmm. these kids. You know, it's like so different. So I really like this coach. That's kind of like one of the biggest things for me.
Well, it kind of goes into, you know, when we talked with Jacob and you see people respond to different things.
Yeah.
So there is people who need the
and
cuss you out
that.
And degrade you coach. And then there's some who need nourished and.
Yeah. Cause he does like coach each guy differently, but man, that episode three, I'm not going to say there was tears. I'm not going to say there wasn't. Y'all leave that. You watch it. Okay.
I will give you guys
you watch a
quick little movie to check out. If you haven't, The Old Guard.
Well, that's a great movie.
Haven't heard of it.
Oh, it's definitely. I watched it yesterday. Definitely check it out. A lot of really cool fighting. I like the premise.
Oh, it's like a fight movie?
Netflix originals are.
Yeah, no, Netflix.
Better. Well, I think it's just going to keep getting better too with like the movies not really being in theaters anymore, right?
Yeah. Well,
I think like HBO Max and all this stuff. Yeah, maybe
but
slowly.
I think with Netflix and like HBOs and stuff having money,
yeah,
people are going to forego the constant media and stuff it takes to promote a movie for theaters.
Yeah.
And just put it on Netflix where everybody can watch it and that's that.
Yeah. Because of the money, I mean.
But Netflix is trying to cut down on the password sharing, so.
Ooh, don't do
sorry,
that.
Sorry, family members.
Everybody.
If that happens, it happens.
Nobody's going to. There's going to be like 17 people in the world that are going to have Netflix.
Half my family is going to be like, can we come over?
Yeah. Well, are you guys, if you have nothing else, ready to jump into this?
Yeah.
Anything.
Only thing I got to add is I went to Ilario's last night, and it's probably the one restaurant I've never had like a bad experience.
Oh, dude, we had Jay's Thai on Friday, and I got some pad Thai. Oh my gosh, same thing. Just never a bad experience ever.
Do you have a restaurant that's never failed you?
And I'd have to really think. I'm going to get back to you on that.
Okay. So, like, real quick, I don't want to get into this, but, like, from traveling a lot, one thing I can say is we are incredibly blessed in this small, small town to have so many, not only just a variety of, like, different cultural, like, we have, like, Indian, we have Thai, we have Japanese, help me,
we have some Italian, of the best Mexican restaurants.
Mexican, and we're talking authentic. These aren't like chains or like
different styles of pizza.
These are like local pizzas.
Burger places,
dude. Like I'm telling you, man. Like I go places sometimes, and it's just like the food's good. But I mean, man, we have some of the best food locally here, and it's crazy in this like little small town. You would just never think it ever.
City of first, man.
Man, I love my town. I love our food.
Bring back the McDiner.
Oh, gosh. Well, before we jump into the fights, that was amazing.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Before we jump into it, we do ask per usual that you please subscribe or give us a follow on whatever platform you're listening on. Also, if you could leave us a 5-star rating or drop us a review, we would definitely appreciate it. And if you drop us a review, we'll definitely shout you out. And this week, I didn't tell you guys, but we got a review.
Whoa.
And it was left on our Podbean.
Yes.
Not on iTunes. Or Apple, whatever you want to call it. I'm going to read the review first.
Okay. Let's get into that.
The review says, "Nice hearing my brother on his second podcast show. It's nice learning about the sport from all of you guys." End quote. And that is from our very own Brandito's brother, Bryce. Anything you want to say to your brother, Brandon?
No, he's going to be, he's a loyal fan.
We love it.
We need to come up with a name for our fans, maybe.
Oh, I don't think we have fans. We'll say listeners.
We got one, at least. Loyal.
No, I would consider him a fan.
What I say to Bryce is this: follow the Buzzards. He'll get that.
What I say is your new nickname is Icy Brycey.
Icy.
His nickname Icy in high school, and when I say nickname in high school, he got this on his Letterman jacket. Chicken fried Bryce.
Honestly, he was on his
on the Letterman jacket.
Not bad. I probably would have went shrimp, but I'm not mad at that. Chicken. I'm gonna be Bryce. Calling them Icy Brycey.
Shrimp fried Bryce. I like shrimp fried Bryce. That is, I love it. I freaking love it. But yeah, it goes like we say it every week. But like, and I think another thing too is like we don't just like hit record and go. Like we this like is a week thing. Like we're working on this all week. We have to watch fights and we're constantly researching and looking up news stuff and trying to stay in tune and follow. So we're not complaining by any means. We love to do this, but if you guys just do something as small as hit subscribe, follow, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, clicking those 5 stars, writing us a review, I mean, it just means so much to us and it kind of, you know, it feels good. Cause like I said, this is a week thing for us, even though we only record once a day or once a week. I mean, it's something we're always doing. And same thing with our socials. If you guys interact with us on there, we appreciate it. At Neon Belly Pod for all of our socials. We're going to be getting a Facebook soon because let's just say some people are complaining.
Yeah. Well, and you know, don't be afraid to disagree with us and tell us how much you hate what we say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love the interaction.
You know, especially Brandon, if you really hate what he has to say.
Yeah.
Comment on the picture for the episode. He'll get on there and he'll nicely tell you how you're wrong.
That's right. Maybe.
That's what he does. I'm not that he's right.
But shout out to Fanny too.
Ooh, 5-star Fanny.
5-star Fanny. I think he's ready for these picks, but he's been sending us some good stuff too, interacting with us on the gram. Yeah. So he's ready.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
He told us this week, I hope he's ready. Yeah. That was his words, not ours.
I'm always ready.
Yeah. He said loser has to shave their beard.
Ooh, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, he never, fights are way too unpredictable to ever put that on.
Yeah.
We've seen that already via the
no way.
Yeah. Well, let's jump into it, boys. So last night, UFC fight night, Edwards versus Muhammad at the UFC Apex in Las Vegas, Nevada. We're just going to start with the main event. Leon, well, I guess no, nobody won. Welterweight main event. No contest. Round two, 18 seconds into round two. Leon Edwards, accidental eye poke on Bilal Muhammad. Muhammad was unable to continue. And I'll say, I think, Brandon, you had even said it today, probably one of the worst eye pokes I've probably seen in recent memory. Like, if you haven't seen the picture, he was, like, literally in his eye.
Yeah, it was definitely the worst. Like I said, in the recent history, it's hard for me to think of another one that was close to that. But this one was definitely
terrible.
Yeah, definitely terrible.
I mean, he was, like, literally.
I never heard a sound like that from a UFC fight. Like, from a fight, like, but when it kind of got quiet and you heard him, like, yell and
he was like crying in pain almost.
And the blood was pouring from, like, tears were bloody, like, from his eye. I mean,
it was terrible. And so, you know, we know that this has kind of been an issue, it's been an ongoing issue. And you know, I think maybe because the implications, because this is one of those fights, you know, you just feel bad for both guys, because Leon's been on such a, you know, he was on a tear, and then Corona hits. He's been out for over a year. Bilal finally getting this big moment, this big chance to try to, you know, beat the number three guy ranked in the world, and, you know, what that could have done. So you just kind of walk away really feeling bad for both guys.
Dana saying that, you know, Leon does a good job. He gets a title shot.
Yeah, man, there was just so much riding on it. And so I guess my thing is for you guys, for both of you guys, I'll start with John, is – I mean, it's got to be fixed, right? And so, but what is it? Like, how do you fix this?
It's tough because, you know, obviously you're not looking at, like, something done purposely. You know, it's not like, because it doesn't obviously do you no good if you get, you know, disqualified or no contest because of a technique. You want to say fighters learn, but, you know, it's hard to break things that your body naturally does when you're doing things. I mean, you've seen fighters get warned and threatened with a point 7 times and their hand will automatically still come up. It's just how it goes.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Brandon, do you think it's something where it's a training thing? So, like, maybe, you know, in training, I mean, once again, the UFC can't sit and monitor these guys every sparring session, but do you think it's accountability on the fighters that – as they're training and doing things, and their coaches, I'll say more their coaches, is like being, you know, when you're watching your guy spar, if he keeps his fingers up and out like that, is being like, hey, keep those fingers in. I mean, what?
I definitely think that plays a role. Like, I think that would be ideal for them to pay attention to that in training and sparring and make it more of a habit, like you said, because we know that habits take form in the octagon as much as anywhere else. But if you're thinking about it even now, because I think I said last night, like, it's frustrating because, like, you know, your solution is keep the hand up or keep your fist closed, right? Mm-hmm. But then when thinking about that, if you've ever sparred, could you imagine trying to spar and keeping your hand closed the entire time? Like, that's not the reason your hand is generally open is, you know, whether that's intercepting a takedown, preparing for the clinch. Yeah. I mean, your hand open is more effective than your hand closed. So then, like, I understand that when I keep the hand open. But, yeah, then it's like, I don't know, keeping the hand straight up versus relaxed.
Yeah.
Maybe turn your fingers down, maybe try to find a way to have the palm but tuck the fingers. I don't know. There's not a good way. And like you said, for what you're using it for, like, you get way more effectiveness of, like, a parry or, you know, even pushing off in a situation when you have your hand.
And I think, too, like, I think the refs are doing a pretty good job of calling it, like, close your fingers. You know, like, I know Herb seems like he's kind of always watching it where he's telling guys, like, fingers up or close your, you know, fingers, you know, he's always yelling at the guys for fingers. But so let me ask you, like, then do we need to start seeing harsher punishments in terms of, like, last night, should that fight have gone to Bilal after, since Leon had already been warned? Cause he had, did he eye poke him? He eye poked him in the first round.
Yeah. And it happened once.
So, you know, let's say, like, is it something where if we do, like, a rule change where it's like, hey, if it happens once, then you do it again and say the guy can't continue, it's an automatic, like, not a DQ or no contest. It's a disqualification.
Well, I seen someone kind of break down the difference between a DQ and a no contest. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with the round that it happens in.
Yeah, it was like after the second round.
Yeah, because at that point, you know, when it's disqualification, that's toward the end of the fight where there's not, like, a chance to really recover from that when you do it later in the fight. That's why know, and we can talk about it, but the the Stewart situation with
Darren Stewart, yeah,
that happened early. That's why that's a
yeah
a no contest instead of a DQ.
Right. Yeah, it's an interesting. I mean, it is interesting. I just was thinking, like, maybe if there's harsher punishment, like after you've been warned once, you do it again, and a guy can't continue. You know, maybe if there's harsher punishments, these guys will start training a little differently and start maybe trying to make it a more point. Or,
well, and what's also tough though is, you know, when things are happening, it doesn't matter what how much you train. Some like you don't you know yeah. grabbing the cage is illegal. But in the heat of a moment, you're going to, no matter what.
Or maybe it's like, I think we saw this recently, like with grabbing the cage. Somebody lost a point pretty early from grabbing the cage because it was a bad cage grab. Maybe we see points taken away a little more often.
Yeah.
Five pokes.
Yeah, something like that. That's what I'm saying. Like maybe you get like one warning and then everyone after that's a point deduction or something.
And the other thing is, like, if I remember correctly during that fight, one of the commentators was talking about their concern for Leon because this is sort of something he does. Like, I think he's got quite a few eye pokes on his record, so to speak, similar to like John Jones. I know he's got a couple. So, you know, if somebody's prone to it, maybe that's something that they can look out for too. Like, I know this guy pokes, you know, refs can keep a closer eye or just be weary.
And it's tough too because, like, I feel bad for Leon because he's not doing it intentionally, and nobody does. You know, I think they even said that on the broadcast. Like, look, nobody goes in and eye pokes somebody. Yeah. I mean, maybe some guys do if they're tired and they're just like, Captain Insano. Like,
for getting beaten and just like that.
Yeah, like kicking the nuts. But for the most part, I mean, it's probably say 99.9% of guys, it's not intentional. So it would be a little harsh to do it, but it is kind of on the fighter. So let me jump into something else is, what if we start, you know, it's been brought up before, but what if we're, you know, to try to help the fighter? Because, I mean, I say Leon's just as much of a victim in it. I mean, not from the eye poke, but the consequences, but changing the gloves. And that's something that it's been kicked around. It's been talked about a lot. For maybe people that don't know, if you go listen to the Joe Rogan interview with Trevor Whitman and Justin Gaethje, Trevor Whitman has designed gloves that kind of naturally hold the hand more curved, which is more comfortable. Because like if you listen to that, you know, Justin talks about how uncomfortable those UFC gloves are. You know, they're just real stiff. Your hand, some of them say their hands almost like their fingers are almost, you know, they're just so stiff.
Well, you see people like Leon last night, every time they'd reset, he's pushing
trying
that glove.
Trying to bend them, break them in. Yeah. And so these Whitman gloves are naturally curved. And apparently he met with the UFC. It's been a while since I've seen the interview. So if I'm a little off, sorry, but go watch it. But I think he did meet with the UFC. Dana loved him. The UFC loved him. The thing was, is the UFC wants to own the gloves. Like Whitman would basically have to give them the rights to the gloves and the copyrights, I'm guessing. And he doesn't want to do that. And I don't blame him. But
if you're the UFC too, being so big,
you want to sell them. And
yeah.
And I understand that. But it's just like, man, like, come on. I mean, it's this fight now, which had a lot of implications, but what if it's in 2 weeks, it's Francis Stipe? You know, we've seen Stipe get eye poked and stuff like that. So it's like, you know, like how many more fights do we have to see and opportunities missed before it's like, let's just try to figure it out on the glove side.
Or just legalize eye pokes.
Yeah. Or you could be like Brandon and just legalize everything. Let's just go back to UFC one.
Well, you know, what's tough is hearing Bisping realize what happened, knowing what happened to him. You kind of heard him like, oh gosh, like knowing what he went through for himself.
And I know you had brought up, Brandon, that with the grappling with like curved gloves.
Yeah.
And I think I told you, but I'm pretty sure either in that interview or another one, either Rogan or Gaethje, or I've heard other fighters that have wore those Whitman gloves say that it does not affect. And I think the Pride gloves used to be naturally bent down as well. Like they said in that interview as well.
I can imagine stuff looking like the MMA gloves where you, like the sparring ones where it's like,
kind of
comes where there's over like the knuckles. Extra padding at the front.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, it's so tough. Like, you know, I think I mean, we're kind of like, you know, armchair quarterback, Monday morning quarterback and thing. But it is a tough situation and I'm not putting a ton of blame on the UFC. I just think if there is something out there and the technology's out there.
Yeah.
Somebody's designed these already. Like, let's just give it a shot.
You think for Whitman, there's a number that could change his mind on that?
I don't know.
And if he doesn't, does that kind of, I wonder how long this will like weigh on him knowing he could stop it if he was able to work out something with the UFC.
I don't know. And for people, just real quick, they just hit me. I think those are. I think his company is called Onyx.
Yeah, so I've got it pulled up right here.
Okay, yeah. So if you want to even go, if you don't want to go watch the interview, if you just want to go check out Whitman's, and it's not even.
It's O-N-X, by the way. That's how it's spelled.
O-N-X. And Brandon, since you have it up, it's not just MMA gloves. He's improved boxing gloves, headgear, everything, shin pads. And I think what they want to do is they want to like start sending. He was hoping to get the UFC on board and just start sending bundles to every fighter because they're. Apparently his stuff's just more safe than what's on the market right now.
Yeah.
What?
I'm just looking at
prices.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cause he makes them, I think.
Yeah, he does. He mentioned that on the podcast too. He makes everything himself, like in his own warehouse. And
So it is a little bit more expensive and it probably takes a little longer, but you get a machine like the UFC behind you and you can mass produce that easily.
Well, and here's the thing with other sports you see, I mean, you've seen, once the whole concussion CTE thing came down on the NFL, they invested a lot of money in newer helmets and pushing that into the college. And
here's my question. I don't want to get too off base with all this, but so he's talked to UFC about it. Dana loves him. Mm-hmm. The UFC loves him. They just want to own them. So let's say that doesn't happen. Like for whatever reason, Whitman's like, nope, they're mine. What does that tell you that the UFC love and you and Dana love them? That do you think that it was? They love the idea of less eye pokes? Do you think that they just like the idea of a new glove? Because if the answer is that they love the idea of new eye pokes, what's the UFC doing to correct this problem?
See, that's kind of what I don't understand. And that's the question I don't know, because it's like you said, if you love them, then you should spare no expense, right, to not only get a safer glove, but to prevent this from happening. Mm-hmm. And that, it's kind of like, man, like that's one thing with the UFC and
they love money more.
Yeah. But I get so frustrated with that, man. It's like, they just let stuff fester and go and go and go. And it's just like, do something.
Well, and imagine the leverage they get though, like with Whitman being a coach, it happening to his fight, you know, if that happens to like Gaethje or something, eventually, you know, it's like, it's wouldn't happen to your fighter if you'd make a deal. Yeah. They bully people all the time as a company.
I don't know, man. It's just one of those things where it's unfortunate. It's been happening for way too long, man. And the fact that these guys are still fighting in the same gloves that they were using 10, 15 years ago. I mean, it's insane.
At this point, you should just go back to UFC one, like you said.
Go bare knuckle. I mean, like,
or make them wear boxing gloves.
Yeah, like, geez, man, it's just. I don't know. I know it's not maybe for us to decide, but we can give our opinion, and
as a fan, it's just disappointing.
Yeah,
to have fights stopped and ruined,
especially if you're paying $70 for a pay per view and the main event ends in an eye poke, something that potentially could be prevented if you would update your equipment a bit.
Yeah, and just thinking back, there like changes, like big changes in the UFC. Like, how often do we see big changes like
don't.
That? You know,
the biggest change you've seen was them taking away promotions on like your clothes.
Dude, in the
banners.
Right. You know? And not like you said, not getting too off base, but how terrible is their merchandising? Mm. It's terrible.
Yeah. As a fan.
Half the time, I mean, if you like their designs, which is a big if, because like, I mean, it's just not that greatly designed. You know, it's like, it's expensive, it's overpriced, and half the time it's not even in stock.
Their sizing is not great.
Like, when the Reebok deal came out, when... We're getting way off base. I'm sorry. Now I'm getting pissed. But when the Reebok... if as an NFL, NBA, NHL, whatever sport fan you want, your team's jersey, what can you do with your team's jersey? You can have it personalized. Put your name on the back. Why can't I go to UFC.com and get a pair of shorts or a jacket or the t-shirts and have my name put on them? I'm not saying I want to, but I'm just using that as an example.
Don't like that type of money.
But the technology, it's there. Yeah. It's not that hard to do.
I think you can with your name.
Maybe. I've never seen it. I guess. I've never seen that.
Yeah.
But I've never really looked.
You can with your name, but it doesn't change the pricing out of stock or the sizing. Because I do have
things will change. I think this Venom.
I hope.
Because I love Venom stuff. I think they have, being involved with, you know, like Damian and fighters and stuff. They have probably the best fight shorts.
I do like Venom. I actually have hope with Venom because they are an actual MMA apparel gear. You know, like
I wonder if that's going to switch the gloves too.
Could,
because Venom does make MMA.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if Whitman could maybe get in with them, and
that's
I don't know.
The real play.
You still have to sell the UFC on it though. So, well, and real quick, just the fight itself. You know, I don't want that to take away. It was only like. like a round and a couple seconds, or not very much into the next round. But I thought Leon Edwards looked really good early. Started a bit slow, but man, you could tell in that second round he was turning it on.
He was starting to feel good.
And that head kick was
lethal.
Yeah, and the thing that kind of surprised me was that Bilal was still there. I mean, he was clearly wobbly.
Yeah, so tough, man.
But I started thinking, like, what if this goes five rounds?
Yeah,
and he doesn't finish it. Well, and I was like, well, what does that do for Leon? Because he's the number three fighting the 3 week notice number 13 or 15. You know, and the idea was, oh, he goes out there and crushes Bilal, he gets the title. What if he doesn't?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the way it was looking, because he was hurting him with straight punches too at the end of that first round.
It was looking good. I mean, it was
even if it doesn't. But here's the thing: what I'm saying with that is, even if he doesn't finish, you're probably getting some 10-8s there because it was looking really bad. Because Bilal was just trying to throw those wide hooks, and he was just wasn't happening. Yeah.
Landed a few elbows. That was really it.
Yeah, and he looked really good too. Like Leon, Bilal looked good, but like with Leon, I think a lot of it early was just timing. I think he would have finished it, but I think his timing was a little off. You know, he kind of rushed in. If he would have just kept his distance and kept picking him apart, I think he would have finished him. But he kind of gave him like two easy initiated clinches twice, where he probably could have stayed more patient after that head and calm. Kick. Yeah, and instead he just kind of rushed in. But I think that's just. You just got to get time, man. You could tell that second round. I was like, I think every round Leon's going to get a little bit better. That's kind of where it seemed like it was heading.
That's scary, though, thinking about what his next fight's going to be. Like, you can't do that against him.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I hope they give him Covington next.
Be a good fight. I mean,
because you can't give him the title shot because of, you know, this weird no man's land that he ended up in. But I don't think if you do this rematch, it goes much different.
No, he looked in great shape too. Yeah. Leon, man, he put out that picture, I think early in the week on his Instagram. And I was like, good Lord, that dude is yoked.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think it was also tough for Muhammad coming in after the Lima fight. Mm-hmm. He got kicked in the leg.
It was a tough fight. Yeah. He ate. That was one thing, you know, nobody really talked about was he, like, and he said afterwards he could barely walk or for like a couple of days.
It's a tough fight to step in. I mean, you do take the chance, but now I think, you know, he sees what that top level, what he's going to taste. He probably gets better from it, you know, recovers and probably does have a couple more fights before he gets back up into that type of area. But he knows what it feels like now.
For sure. So anything else on that fight before we move on?
I just hope to see them both back soon.
Yeah. Well, so real quick, what do you guys, so you said next for Leon, you said you'd like to give him Colby.
Yeah.
What do you think after this?
Or maybe Wonderboy.
I'd say I'm Wonderboy or Chiesa. That's where I'd be.
I think I'm more in the Chiesa kind of range. Yeah. I think you could even give him a guy coming off a loss. I mean, I'd hate to call what he just did a loss, but I'd like to see him get a little bit more rounds in.
Some more time.
Yeah, because it's just, it was looking good, but you can tell it was getting better, and I think he could benefit more from, I like the Chiesa fight. I think that's a good good little fight for him. And I think Bilal, man, I think same thing. I think he could easily get anybody in the top 10.
You just gave him the number three.
Yeah, and I mean, the fight didn't look favorable, but it's fighting and anything can happen. So it's not like
I think if you're him, you probably don't want that though, because you didn't look great against that, and you know you need more.
Yeah, it's tough.
Set him up with like Jang Lang or something, somebody who's winning, and
he's calling for the rematch already.
Yeah, I'm sure he wants it, and Leon doesn't seem interested. I don't blame Leon for not being interested in it.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, I'm not interested in it.
But. Yeah, but I mean, shoot, maybe like if Hamzat. I mean, we don't know really what's still going on there.
I'd love to see him in Bilal for sure.
That's what I was thinking. Like, if Hamzat's ready to go, maybe by the end of the summer, give Bilal.
He wants Magny.
Magny's coming off a loss. I mean, I'd rather, you know, Bilal was on a 4-fight win streak. I mean, that is a no contest. So if I'm Hamzat, Bilal is the bigger fight now. Yeah. So I'd like to see that one, I think. So moving to the next fight in the co-main event spot, Ryan Spann defeating Sirkunov, is it?
Misha
Sirkunov in the first round by punches of, or 1 minute and 11 seconds in the first round by knockout. Man, just not, it's kind of funny, like not a whole lot, like Sirkunov threw 5 strikes. Yeah. I mean, it just wasn't a very long fight.
Nope.
Not much to really say or talk about. It took... took Spann only 16 punches to finish
it. You know what, though? Misha was getting over punches, like throwing out that left over his hand, and he was landing some stuff, and then all of a sudden,
yeah, he only landed popped. Five. So,
well, I guess it were glancing, but he was just getting in, I guess is what I was saying.
I thought like immediately, I kind of got the vibe that Span was just, I mean, he was just a little quicker and just a little bit more powerful. Like you could see, kind of see the difference in some of the power.
He looked really in shape too. I feel like he looked different this fight compared to his past few.
It seemed like from the waist up, he seemed a little slimmer.
Yeah.
I thought, rather than like he wasn't carrying as much, muscle, I guess.
Yeah.
Or mass on his upper body. But,
And I know they'd made changes because in his post fight, he was talking about, you know, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing this time or what we did this time. He didn't really clarify what that was.
Yeah.
But,
and he trains at a really good gym, with Uriah Hall and them in Texas. Oh, what is that? It's escaping me. I can't see it. I don't know. I can't think of the gym, but he comes from a really good team. Mm-hmm. So
Fortis.
Fortis MMA. There we go. Thank you for that. So that moves him to 19-6. I'm not sure what he was ranked. He said the winner of Anthony Smith and
Jimmy
Crute. I feel like he should look for a bigger fight than that, though.
Oh, well.
Well, I mean, he had a split decision with Sam Alvey, got knocked out by Johnny Walker, and then just beat Misha.
Yeah.
He was on an 8-fight win streak.
Yeah, before that. Yeah, he was tearing it up.
And the Johnny fight, it wasn't like he got dominated.
He was winning.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had Johnny Walker in all types of trouble.
He got submitted by Robert Drysdale.
It happens.
Jeez. That definitely happens. But yeah, I don't know, man. I think I kind of was shocked by that. I thought he would be looking more, you know, somebody a little bit higher.
I don't know. I mean, Anthony's a name.
Smith is a name, but dude, when's the last time that dude won a fight?
Yeah. Is Anthony ranked, still ranked top 10?
I bet if he is, I bet it's just sheerly out of the fact that there's just not.
He beats the old guys, okay?
Well, I bet old there's, the retirement division. I bet if he is ranked, it's just purely out of the fact that there's just not many people or, you know, names in the 205 division.
Yeah.
But I'd be a little disappointed.
Number six.
That's crazy, man. That is crazy. Number six. I mean, dude, I'll be honest with you. I wasn't overly impressed with Rakic, you know, and
he got moved up to two.
Yeah, I'm looking at that now. Yeah, and I felt like Span should have called him out. I mean,
well, and Jones was, or not Jones, Santos was ranked really high. That's probably why Ratchet got.
Yeah.
Yeah, but man.
He was like number one or two.
I mean, I think Span presents a lot of problems for like a Rakic because the ground game is.
Magomed would be interesting.
Yeah. That's another guy coming off a big win over Krylov. Mm-hmm. Magomed, Ankalala.
I mean, Krylov is still, he's number nine. So, I mean, even if you took him off of a loss.
Yeah.
That move, because Misha was only number 11, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not mad at the Anthony Smith, but if Jimmy Crute were to win that fight, it's like, man, do you really want to go for, like, a Jimmy Crute? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I feel like he's kind of selling himself a bit short. He looked really good. I mean, it was a quick fight. There's not a ton to go off of, like, in our main event, but I don't know. I thought it was a little bit more deserving. Next fight, once again, in round one, 22 seconds into round one, Dan Ige clean.
50K Ige.
Dan 50K Ige with the clean knockout over Gavin Tucker. One punch. That's it. That's all he landed.
Yeah.
Dan Ige, one punch. Look, he threw four and landed one. That's it. That's all it took, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, just. I think I'd put it on something, but, like, I mean, who in the division could take that power? Maybe Max, just because we know Max has, like, a crazy chin.
Korean Zombie probably could.
Yeah, I think he said he wants Zombie next. I love that fight.
I think
he's been wanting Zombie, apparently.
I love that fight, dude.
Really, anybody ahead of him is great fights. Jeremy Stevens, Josh Emmett, Qatar, Korean Zombie, Yair, Zabit. Ortega, Holloway, obviously.
I feel like he just beat, or Cater just beat him, I think. Could be.
Yeah, I think he lost a decision.
Yeah, I think him and Cater
but
just
let's
fought.
Let's also say something very honest here. I think Ryan Hall being old and little injury probably saved him because he's not eating that punch.
No. Well, so the only thing was...
It's because he'd be on his back.
Yeah.
Putting him out to sleep. Yeah. 50K Ige is not playing.
No. So here... No, Ryan Hall definitely would not have ate that shot, but... Because I just don't think many people can in the division. I mean, that dude possesses power at 145 that not many people possess. Right. But, dude, Ryan Hall... And Brandon, you can kind of correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I think he does a really good job at fighting at space. Like, he keeps a lot of distance in space.
He's very much of the mindset of either I'm going to be so far you can't hurt me, or I'm going to be so close it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
He talks about that a lot, and you can see it in his fights. Mm-hmm. I mean, he uses so many kicks and hook kicks, push kicks.
Oh, dude, just make that fight then. Yeah. Let's just see it. Well, EA Hall. Yeah,
Ryan just needs to Hall's
not even...
I know.
He's not even ranked either.
Yeah.
So if you're number 9... You just got that big win. You don't want to go fight somebody.
Yeah.
Unranked.
So real quick, though, just kind of moving, keeping it moving. Davy Grant knocking out Jonathan Martinez in the second round.
Man.
Telling you what, I love that Davy Grant dude. I mean, I think I had texted you guys, his footwork and his movement and like that is like one of the most, besides like a Johnny Walker, probably one of the most unorthodox strikers
weird
I've seen.
Well, it'd be like imagine if Clay Guida was a striker.
Oh, dude,
he's doing or Dominique Cruz, like that kind of has that. Yeah.
There was like one point early in the first round, he did like this like crazy shuffle thing. Yeah. I'm like, jeez, dude.
His kicks were really not, like he was throwing a lot of those like jumping push kicks to the.
Well, and he was throwing hooks from his hip. Like he wasn't even.
Yeah. And he's primarily a submission guy. He's got he's got 8 submission victories in his career. So, yeah, man, Davy Grant, keep it moving.
What you see with these guys is once they have dominated an area, they start falling in love with the part that they worked on the most.
Well, and Martinez, it was kind of a young contender coming up, and
he looked good too.
Yeah, he looked great, and he is tough, man.
The knockout shot that he landed, that Davy Grant landed, his chin was up.
Yeah,
he took a chance.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things for Martinez where it's just like. Just like I said, I think they probably looked at Davy Grant as like, hey, let's feed him, you know, this young, hungry bull. And Davy Grant said, not today, mate.
2 knockouts in a row the same way, same little combo.
Oh, dude, I love it.
Go low, go high.
Yeah, I'm a Davy Grant fan now. Big Davy Grant guy. Next fight, Mateus Nicolua defeating Manil Cott, man, by split decision. I think Manil Cott might be one of the most frustrating fighters to watch. I mean, every attribute that you could ask for in a UFC champion, this dude has and just does. I mean, it's like,
except for urgency.
Yeah, that's all it is, man. I mean, I will be honest. I think he won the third round. It was really close up until the end, and then he really turned it on. But it's like, dude, why don't you do that?
Well, it's tough because he was just one shot in the whole, you know, first half of that third. And, you know, also, it's weird because I don't know if he has, because he leaves his hands down a lot because he was afraid of the wrestling.
Yeah.
And you can't do that.
Yeah, he was getting hit with some big shots doing that too.
And then he landed some big shots, but they didn't seem to necessarily be like put you out shots.
Yeah, but he was just one shot though. Yeah. He wasn't following.
Well, even
it
that
up
second round when he turned up.
Yeah, he just
those big shots.
He definitely has an urgency in round 2.
Yeah.
So like round 2, it's what you want to see all 3 rounds.
And he that's just disappeared again
in
the third round until that last like 30, 45 seconds. It's like, gosh, dude, come on.
Yeah, it's just.
What do you think it is?
You know, I think it's pressure. I think it's just you're in the UFC now, and you know we see it sometimes. And I think he's coming in. He was a champion at Ryzen, and I'm sure a lot of expectation and
I didn't know a ton about him before he came in, but apparently he had a ton of hype coming in just because
they thought he could have just slid in. But
and at that weight, you know, you think there's not many high level guys, you know, at that weight, and he was just knocking fools out over there and risen and stuff, and it's like,
well, I think it's also a jump because shots that were putting people out there probably aren't doing it here, and you know, positions you were kind of lazy in, so can't do that.
I agree, yes, to an extent, but watching his Risen fights, this isn't how he fought. I mean, he was definitely landing big shots. I mean, dude, in that first or second round? I mean, you can see his power. He was landing like straight lefts or rights. I don't remember.
He's a pretty dynamic striker.
Yeah, and he was just sitting dude down. I mean, it was like you can tell the power is there. It's just like he just doesn't let it go. I mean, yeah. It's just so frustrating.
And like I said, he gets hit too much. And that third round, he took a lot of big shots that you get higher up in the division.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to get hit with like a figure eight you know, even a Brandon Moreno. You wouldn't want to get hit like that. So, I don't know. He's 0-2 in the UFC now. I don't know if they'll give him another shot. I hope they do one more.
I would imagine just because it's just such a light
division. I just want to see it come. I just want to see it, man.
Throw him to Tim Elliott.
Oh, no, do not do that. He'll be out of the UFC. The guy that does nothing against the guy that doesn't stop.
Well, and then just the grappling would just be way too much.
I mean, DC kept saying he's a high-level jiu-jitsu guy.
Yeah, that confused me because you didn't see it.
I didn't really, he just doesn't do anything.
Didn't see anything he wanted. So in the second round, I mean, the guy landed like 30, 40 shots. Yeah. The other guy's like 6 or 7, but...
Last one, first fight of the night. We're going to talk about it just because happened again. No contest. Eric Anders, illegal knee to the head to Darren Stewart in the first round. 4 minutes and 37 seconds in the first round. Sucks, man. Anders was winning that fight. It looked like it was about over. Stewart was kind of down on his one knee and was like kind of against the fence. And now on his way up, Anders just... hit him with a knee. I will say it wasn't as
it wasn't like somebody blatant. Statued and then you
wasn't as blatant as the Jan Aljo one last week where it's like, what are you thinking? I mean, it was literally in the heat of the moment look like type thing. But a second week in a row, who would have ever thought we would see two no contests back to back from illegal knees?
Well, the first one was a disqualification, like how we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
The Jan one.
Yeah.
This one, he's lucky to get a no contest, and he was on his way to a finish, and then fumbled the bag.
Yep. So, anything else on that fight for you guys?
Hate to see it, but once again, you also hate to see it in a fight that clearly was on a way to being finished anyways.
Yeah. Yep. Angela Hill won on this card as well. Hani Yahya. I was just checking. I'm not sure. 21 career submissions. He won by arm triangle in this one.
He kind of did it like Islam. He wasn't fully over.
Yeah.
He was in half guard. And
I want to say they said it's like, man, did they say something like that might be the most in UFC or not?
I don't remember, but I did see a tweet that said he just needs to go up to 55 and fight Ryan Hall.
That's awesome. So that was UFC fight night. I think it's Vegas 21, was that what it was? I don't know. Bilal Muhammad versus Leon Edwards.
Crazy card.
Great card.
Really
another
good card.
I'd have paid for that.
Another good card. Yeah, I'm telling you, you guys sleeping on these fight nights. I mean, all these first round knockouts on the main card was unreal. And even the cop, Mateo one that went all three rounds, I mean, it was still fought at a high pace. You know, it's not like it was a terrible fight. It just...
Well, and what you're missing by not watching these because of that... All these guys are in positions to get big fights next, and you're not going to know who it is unless you're watching the fight nights and listen to us break it down.
Exactly. So moving on, though, this Saturday, March 20th, at the UFC Apex in Las Vegas, Nevada, we have another UFC fight night. Pew, pew, pew. The first fight that we're going to break down, the headlining fight, the main event in the 185-pound division is Derek Brunson versus Kevin Holland. Brandon.
Brandido.
Brandido. Break this one down, sucker.
Okay, this should be exciting. There's a little bit of bad blood in this one, but so Brunson, he's coming off a 3-fight win streak. His last 3 wins were against, is it Elias I don't know how to say his
Theodoro.
Last name. Theodoro, which he won by unanimous decision, and then he beat Ian Heinisch by unanimous decision, and then he beat the upcomer rising star Edmund Shabazian with a TKO in round 3. That was a good fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kevin Holland had a really busy 2020. He had 5 victories throughout the whole year, setting the record. And so I just talked about his last 3 wins. His last 3 wins were a split decision against Darren Stewart, which was pretty close if you watch that
one.
Then the next fight up was a TKO slam win, which was weird, against Charlie Ontivetos. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. And then
it was
the
only one that can't pronounce names.
Yeah, these are tough.
None of us can.
And then there was a knockout win against Jacare Souza from the guard off of his back. That was crazy.
Sick.
This fight should be pretty exciting. Both guys are sort of on the rise, and we'll see who comes out on top. next week.
One thing I think that's interesting for Brunson is he's 3-0 since moving to Sanford. Mm-hmm. His last three wins all came under Henry Hoof. And that's something that, you know, if a lot of people are writing him off right now is since he's moved to Sanford, his whole game has changed. I mean, he's, you know, he used to be a super wild, kind of aggressive and always coming forward. And we've seen a little bit more patience out of him in his last couple fights, being a little bit calmer. Also, another thing about Brunson, he's never been submitted in his career, which I think is a little interesting because this could be a fight where Kevin Holland, I mean, Kevin Holland's a really high level grappler. As a lot of people don't know. I think he's a black belt. I could see it being something where he was wanting, you know, maybe to try to get it to the ground. But Brunson kind of being a heavy striker, is Kevin Holland's never been knocked out either.
Yeah.
So
Kevin Holland, so one thing about him too that's interesting is he was a contender series guy and he didn't get the contract. He won the fight. I don't remember who he fought, but it was a unanimous decision victory. He didn't get the contract. But they called him up anyways shortly after for a short notice replacement, and he fought Thiago Santos when Santos was still at 170. Or
85.
Sorry, yeah, 85. And he lost, but it was a pretty decent fight. Yeah. Unanimous decision loss. And he was throwing up quite a few submissions against Santos, too.
Yeah, really high level. Trains with Travis Luter, I believe. So anybody that knows Travis Luter, once again, high level jiu-jitsu guy. I'm pretty pumped for this fight. I think
Blonde hair Brunson is different. He's 3-0 since he went blonde.
3-0 blonde, 3-0 at Sanford.
Brunson's a brown belt. And Holland is he a brown belt?
Okay.
Holland's a black belt.
Brunson's been known to do some wrestling if he gets.
Yeah, he's really good, well-rounded. So. Man, Brunson just always found, like, I don't know, once again, I don't want to put too much on the camp move, but we do see guys that sometimes move camps and it transforms them. And, I mean, since he's moved camps, I mean, he's looked really good. Yeah. So, not going to be the easy. I think personally for me, this is definitely Holland's toughest fight. I know you said I saw the Santos when I was looking this up. I saw the Santos, but it was a while ago, and we know Santos wasn't the best at 85. Mm-hmm. Granted, Holland did lose the fight, but I still think this version of Derek Brunson is probably the toughest fight Kevin Holland's had so far.
100%.
Jacare definitely had the experience, but we're looking at a little bit of an older Jacare. I would say this is definitely going to be his toughest one. I'm super, super pumped for this fight. Mm-hmm. Couldn't say enough about it. So,
anything. And if you're Holland, you pull this off, you're probably a fight or so away from getting a shot.
Yeah.
Brunson is a little bit tough because you already lost.
Man. Maybe not, though. I mean, you beat a guy like Kevin. I'll tell you what, Dana White called him Big Mouth. Is that his official? Is he doing the Big Mouth?
I don't know.
I think he
like, is his nickname?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it is because Dana White called him Big Mouth. I don't know. I can't remember where I was going with that. Brandon's distracting me for those that can't see what's going on. I have to turn my back.
He's like, what are you touching his belly button?
What are you doing?
Like he's deep in now, and I have to keep this cord in a stupid position to hear.
When's your birthday?
April 22nd.
Well, you're getting some. We're gonna get you the headphones of your
dreams. Jeez, please.
You're just over here finger diddling this.
Anybody listening? Plug. Send. We need to start our OnlyFans.
Yeah.
to raise money for Brandon to get headphones. I don't even remember where I was going. The Big Mouth thing. I was going somewhere with it, but.
I had said that for Brunson. This might not be as big of a win as it would be for a Holland, just because he's already lost to Adesanya, and he's just been around longer. Maybe, I mean, I would imagine if either one wins, they probably need like a top five W to get a shot. But
could be.
But you're also probably looking at a contender too. So
yeah, a lot of implications on that fight. Because at the 85 pound division, you know, we've kind of talked last week, you know, you got the Vettori Till fight that could see a number one contender. You got Whitaker Costa coming up. So probably one more fight needed for either of these guys, but definitely fight they need to win.
This is the second fight for Brunson where he's sort of taken on the up and comer, surging contender because he just beat Shahbazyan.
Yeah.
And now he's fighting Holland. So,
yeah. Yeah. Has Shahbazyan has he fought since that fight?
Not that I'm aware.
I'm not aware either. Think that was a tough one for him.
It was a rough one.
Yeah. But moving on, the next fight that we're going to feature, Gregor Gillespie versus Brad Riddle. Jean, tee us up.
All right, we're going to talk about Gregor the Gift from Strong Island. Blue belt, decorated wrestler, Sorry, I fell asleep. No, he's really good. Ran into a tough Kevin Lee his last fight, but before that went on a tear, beating local legend Andrew Holbrook. They beat Yancey. It's probably his biggest win, Yancey, I would say. He's really tough, man. He's a really good wrestler, and what's kind of crazy is as good as he is as a wrestler, he has actually more KOs and TKOs than he has submissions or decisions. Well, he has 7 all together, but he'll get in there and mix it up.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to bang. He has a 48% takedown, so he's about 50.
League average.
About 50 on his striking, too, so he gets hit a little bit, but he'll hit you back. He likes to mix it up with the wrestling and stuff. Brad Riddle trains with Izzy at the New Zealand
City
Kickboxing. Yeah, he doesn't have as many big wins. This will be probably be his biggest if he could pull it off. But he's been on a tear himself. You know, he's won 6 in a row. He's beat a guy named Magomed, so that's you get just points for that.
He's beat somebody that probably knows how to wrestle.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying at that point. And here's the other thing about him: he's 100% on his takedowns, one for one.
Okay, I was going to say.
But he has an 80% takedown defense. Huh? And he's fought, his last guy time he fought, Alex De Silva, I don't know how to say his last name. De Silva, Cajalo, whatever. He was on the ground a little bit at the first part of that, so he had to deal with the wrestling and grappling. Mm-hmm. I think this, as much as Gregor will mix it up, I think this is your striker, grappler. And I think it's going to be a good little matchup. I think Riddle's got a lot to prove coming from that camp and how everybody's been doing, and this will be a big win for him because Gregor was supposed to be that guy until he ran into Kevin Lee. So mm-hmm. I'm very, very excited.
Yeah, so that's something interesting, too. You brought up the City Kickboxing. I feel like there's a lot of pressure on those guys now.
Yeah.
Just because their team's really kind of exploded since Izzy's gotten here. Mm-hmm. And we've seen, you know, Volkanovski and those guys. So
Hooker.
Coming from that camp, you probably do have this weight of, oh, I'm from this camp. I have to win, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, he's, you know, Riddle 9-1 in his career, like John said. But he is on a 6-fight win streak for his career and 3-0 in the UFC. So definitely this is his biggest, toughest fight. That fight with Alex De Silva was last September. But Gregor Gillespie, man, he is 13-1. So he was 13-0 in his career until he lost that fight against Kevin Lee, where he was nasty, knocked out by a head kick. It was bad.
And that was, there was so much going into that fight. Kevin Lee just switched mm-hmm. to TriStar.
Yep.
That was the first time Frost cornered him.
Yeah.
So it was like Kevin's sort of breakout moment again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just remember leading up to that fight, everyone was talking about Gillespie. Oh, he's got the tools to beat Habib.
Yeah.
He's going to be the guy. He's such a great wrestler.
Yeah.
He's, Kevin Lee said
that. And that was his last fight, and he hasn't fought since that fight, which that was in November of 2019. So pretty long layoff for Gillespie is where, you know, we saw Riddle last September. As John mentioned, Gillespie is a super decorated D1 wrestler, won the national championship in 2007. I looked it up. In 2008, he actually beat Michael Chandler.
Whoa.
In the national championship. Nice. Didn't win the national championship that year, but
in the tournament.
In the tournament, he beat Michael Chandler. So I could see that maybe being one that Chandler wants to get back, sure.
Where'd Chandler wrestle?
Let's look it up. I know
Chandler also wrestled Michael Johnson and beat him by a point.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say Gregor wrestled at like Edmund University, or I can't remember. What university he wrestled at, but I'm super pumped for this fight though.
Yeah, I believe, I can't remember who said it. It might have been Izzy or Hooker, but they were really high on Brad's, like, probably has like the best boxing in the gym type of, which against a wrestler is going to do you good because obviously you're watching, looking for that uppercut.
I'll believe it when I see it.
We might see it.
University of Missouri for.
Oh wow.
That was Michael Chandler.
Yeah, that's a good school.
That is a very good school.
A good wrestling
school.
Seen
a lot of high level wrestlers coming out of Missouri. So
we don't see a lot of guys coming out of Ohio, which is crazy to me. If you're big on the wrestling scene, you'd
was
see,
Kyle?
Or sorry, I'm sorry, not Ohio, Iowa.
Iowa. Mm. Yeah, I was gonna say Kyle Snyder went to Ohio State, and I don't know if he was from Ohio. You got both Paul brothers, Jake and Logan Paul.
Yeah.
Big Ohio legend.
But in terms of UFC, like, there's
Hulk
guys.
Hulk Hogan went there.
In terms of UFC guys, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think. I mean, do you think most wrestlers, like, I guess I'm not really sure. Do they kind of stay local at their schools? Because I feel like Purdue, you know, I kind of loosely see them, and they kind of go out of state a lot. It seems like a lot of people, like Michigan, Michigan's heavyweight, Pierre, help me out. The Wolverine, Michigan.
Oh, the guy who just lost to.
Yeah, he just lost to Gable. Mm-hmm. What's his name? It starts with a chat. P.
Peter Paul.
I don't know, but he's from Indiana. So, like, you know, it seems like, I don't know if guys kind of move around. And
depending on how good you are. Because yeah. There's certain schools that are just known, like just like basketball or any other sport. There's just certain schools that are known.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a really good wrestler, you're probably looking at Iowa. No. Probably looking at Iowa, Ohio State,
yeah.
Penn State.
Minnesota.
God. Yeah, Minnesota's good.
Mm-hmm. Minnesota's really good.
Indiana, yeah, so A&M. They'll definitely move. Man.
Indiana A&M.
Yeah.
Indiana State. But yeah, so back to this actual fight that we're talking about. We were getting off task a lot today.
I think it's going to be a good one.
I do too. I think it's going to be a really, really high level or a fast-paced fight. Mm-hmm. Both of these guys are forward. And, you know, Riddle, obviously, with his credentials, and we know he's going to have probably that striking advantage. Like Kevin Lee obviously kind of had going into that fight with Gillespie. But, dude, Gillespie's striking is not very technical. It's not very clean or crisp.
He'll bang,
but he
though.
Just throws freaking haymakers, too.
The problem with that, though,
like,
is
straight from the hip. Like, he just cocks them
back.
When
you miss those against yeah. a good striker, that's yeah. when you get countered.
Yeah. I don't think this is one, though, at least I hope not, that we're going to see him, like, you know, really try to stay in the pocket in exchange with Riddle. I really think he's going to come out and try to probably lean a little bit more on his wrestling in this one. And
it's a long layoff. It'll be interesting to
see. It is a long layoff.
And that knockout, if you go back and watch it, it was bad.
But it's probably a good thing. I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming maybe COVID. You know, it's when we see guys that have taken long layoffs since 2019, you kind of just assume COVID or something. Not sure why he had the layoff, but with how bad that knockout was, it's probably good for Gillespie that he did take that time off to really recover. And
you'll probably see him learn from that and say,
yeah,
let's not play around he was with getting, these type of guys.
He was getting wild in that fight. I mean, like, some of those punches were just like.
And when you do it, you open up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go to sleep.
So, but just real quick, moving down the card, Ty Tuivasa is on this card. He's on like a 3-fight losing streak.
Well, he just won his last
fight. He did.
Yeah.
But probably still a fight he needs to win.
Yeah.
So I love Ty. I'd hate to see him out of the UFC. I mean, not really a bunch of bigger names, but like we've been saying, watch
people
it.
Who show up.
Watch it. This will be a good one. And if nothing else, that main event. I mean, well, really, the Riddle Gillespie fight is going to be amazing. But Brunson Holland, for all the trash talk and everything, these guys have been going back and forth for a
and
long time.
And positioning in the division.
You don't have a lot
of people who are
It's got everything.
Threatening.
So. Yeah, Holland's fun to watch.
So, yes, he is a lot of fun to watch. So, let's get into our picks. Brandon, update us on our score after last night's Bilal Muhammad versus Leon Edwards. What are our points looking at? Start in last place, Purse.
All right, so last night, me and Nate made a little bit of covered a little ground on John. So I have 15 points.
Last place?
Yes. And then that's what you get. And then Nate and John both sitting at 20 points, so it's neck and neck.
Tied it up. Tiger up.
Fortunately, that main event didn't help me.
Yeah, that sucks. That's how I was with the Jan Sterling, though.
I would have still probably got at least a point because I do think Leon would have won. But
yeah, so let's jump into our picks. We're going to pick for Derek Brunson. We'll do first Derek Brunson versus Kevin Holland. John, give us your winner, round, and method.
Let me get Kevin Holland second round TKO. I think he just has a lot.
So I'm going to go... I'm going to go Kevin Holland for sure. I kind of want to do a submission.
Do it.
I'm going to do Kevin Holland. I'll say first round. I could see it ending in the first round, no matter what. But I'll say Kevin Holland, first round submission.
Boom. Wow. Okay. I'm also going to go with Holland. I don't want to do the exact same thing because that's just going to, if we are both right, I'm just going
to
be.
But you can get closer to second place.
Maybe. I'll go with, I can at least pick a different round.
Yeah.
I'll go with round for TKO.
Could either of you guys make a case for it to go into a decision, or is this one, it's like,
yeah,
you just don't see how it goes because to a decision?
Because if the power doesn't hurt Brunson early,
yeah,
Brunson has a lot of experience.
Yeah.
And I could see it
just But Brunson
begin.
Has power, too, to where it's like, even for Kevin, it's like, yeah. Oh, dude, I feel like whoever lands in this is just going
to... Well, end. I just feel like Brunson, and I'm giving a lot of credit to Kevin,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like Brunson against those top guys, it doesn't translate as well.
Yeah.
I'm also scared Brunson's going to go out there and just... Russell Holland and just be a boring 5-round fight that he's going to win. But
with Holland having his jiu-jitsu.
I'm kind of giving Holland the grappling a bit advantage.
I don't know. Just thinking back to that Stewart fight he had.
Yeah, Stewart took him down a lot in that fight, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And but I just think too, off his back, I feel like
Holland's proven he'll knock you out from his back.
Yeah, so. For sure. One of the probably sickest knockouts ever off the back. I don't know if I've ever seen one.
No, I've seen the only one I've seen better. I can't remember what the dude's name was, but remember he trapped put his foot behind the dude's head and just started doing the hammer fist.
And then who did Silva fight? Was it Luter?
Where he started elbowing
in the triangle and like,
yeah.
dude, like mm. it was kind of choky, purple. Yeah, because he was like
he triangle
purple,
and then
he
started
just elbowing the nizhnit out of him. Next fight: Gregor Gillespie versus Brad Riddle. John, pick your winner, round and method.
I'm taking Riddle by decision.
Decision.
Yeah, I think he's gonna hurt him a lot, but I just think Gillespie's a tough guy and he'll be tough to put away.
I'm going to say Gregor Gillespie, second round submission. And I actually think he's going to rear naked choke him. Bonus point.
I'm taking Gillespie, round one knockout.
Nice.
You said round two submission, Nate, right?
Yeah, round two subby. And then put parentheses for a bonus point, rear naked choke. Just
Are
kidding.
We doing that?
No, we're not. I'm making my own rules. No, don't do that.
I do have a.
I'll get wild out here with bonus points.
Peruvian necktie, and if he gets it, I get 17 points. Yeah, no, we won't do that.
I do have a request for all these fighters. Will you step up your interview game so we can have some stuff for the intro?
Yeah, man,
I miss those.
It's been dry, man.
Where's Derek Lewis when you need him?
Dude, I've been listening. We didn't even get one from Derek. Well, we did get one from Derek Lewis, but his weren't even that great. I was listening this morning, and there's just like. They've all been kind of like boring, like nothing worth putting out there. So
step it up.
Hopefully, yeah, man. I think Kevin Holland. I got faith.
Yeah,
I got faith. Next week we're gonna have an intro, soundbite.
Yeah, hopefully he wins. Otherwise, it's just gonna be Brunson thinking he needs a title
shot.
Oh
gosh, whinging. Boys, anything else on UFC Fight Night Brunson versus Holland before we move on?
Excited for it, and it's free, so watch it.
Yeah. Let's jump into the news. Normal. First thing we got, Megan Anderson's cut from the UFC after her eviscerating
wow.
from Amanda Nunes. She did fight out her contract, so she went into it on her last fight. I'll be honest, man, I think it's kind of for the best. I think if she goes back to Invicta, which I would assume that's probably where she's going to go, that 145-pound division's deeper. It's a lot more active. You got, you know, Chris Cyborg. Is it Kayla Harris, that new – is that her name?
The judica.
Was it?
The girl who does judo. She's the judoka. Yeah.
It's Kayla Harris.
Kayla Harrison, I think.
You know, Harrison, yeah. They're one that she's already – they're already saying for Amanda at that division. So, go ahead.
There's another a company that I think has a 55 division for women too. I can't think of the name of it, but people were talking about that.
Yeah. Wherever Shields went, they have.
Yeah.
I think she's so one, tall. Maybe. You know, she packs on a little bit of muscle. Could.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but not super shocked to see that, unless she did fight out her contract in the UFC, not really knowing what they're going to do with the 45-pound division. So probably good for her to just go keep getting fights. Mm-hmm. And last thing I have is they announced they're in the works for Tony Ferguson versus Benil Dariush for UFC 262 on May 15th. In that fight, it would be a banger.
Yeah,
let's just say. I hope they get that one done.
Yeah, that'd be a good one for Dariush. He deserves a big shot like that.
That's a scary one for Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You lose that one, man. I mean, I don't know what.
Dariush has a motor. So, yeah. John, what you got?
We got the Black Beast calling out Surreal Gang. He wants that smoke. Doesn't seem like he's posturing for a title, but he probably understands with Jones there.
Yeah.
It'll be a minute before.
Yeah.
And he with him already of getting a title shot before, he knows it's not always easy to get
I
up.
I love that fight. Love that fight.
Yeah. I mean, because if you're going to go for it, if you're game, then that's the fight you take. Yeah.
Super athletic dudes. Obviously, Lewis having the power advantage probably, but man, would love to see that fight.
Yeah, that's a fantastic fight.
Yeah.
We also have Marvin Hagler.
R.I.P.
Marvelous, yeah.
R.I.P.
He's one of the greats.
66, is that what he was?
I believe so, 66, yeah.
66, yeah.
Some of the...
Was it COVID?
I didn't see the reasoning.
I didn't either.
But if you go back, he's got one of those type of resumes.
Oh, yeah.
That, I mean, some of the best ever. Really great fights. You also have... Did they... I don't know if we've talked about...
Yeah, that was... Well, we had mentioned it, but it's official, so yeah, you can...
Yeah, we got... Zhang fighting Rose Namajunas.
What's her name?
Zhang.
What's her last name?
Zhang.
What's her last name?
Zhang.
What's her name?
Zhang Weili.
John Weili.
No.
There
we go.
No. Is there another female fight on that? I believe it's the.
I don't know.
The Valentina fighting? Or is it?
So. I don't know.
There's another title fight on that card.
I don't know.
261.
Got anything else? Or we get Brandon?
I guess, yeah. So Eugene Berryman taking shots at John Jones.
Yeah, tell us about that. What was said?
So I'm going to say what Eugene said, and this is paraphrasing because I can't find his quote, but he essentially said John Jones is all the stuff he's done in his career is irrelevant since he's cheated, and he knows who the biggest fight in the sport is for him, and it's Izzy still. So he's still basically pushing for that fight. And then Jones responded, and this is a quote from his Twitter. This is what Jones said. He said, "Give it up, coach. We've all seen your cards. Your boy has almost no takedown defense or offense off his back. Now you're just being a cloud trout. If you would honestly send him in there against a 260-pound wrestler after that last performance, you don't care about his well-being."
Facts.
Yeah. What do you guys think?
I think it's facts. I mean, like, if you look at that, so here's what I say. In the current form, like, if those two were to both go out and fight right now, what we just saw without Izzy making any improvements to his takedown game, I mean, and how huge and massive John is right now.
Thick.
I mean, it just, the pedigree, I don't even think Jones would even stand with him. He just wouldn't have to.
Probably a good call.
Yeah, he just wouldn't have to. Yeah. I mean, why? You think it wouldn't be a good call? It's not like he outstruck Jan necessarily.
I mean, he hurt Jan a lot.
He didn't outstrike him, though.
But he hurt. But I'm talking about the strike.
Him?
He was close to finishing him.
When?
No.
In the fourth. That's why he had to shoot that desperate takedown.
When he knocked him down? I never
saw
him.
No, I'm saying he'd hurt him. I mean, he was starting to fall out, so he shot the takedown.
So I think there's a difference between, like, you know, getting like, oh, shoot, that was a good shot. Let me get on my bike a little bit to where, like, you hurt a guy to where he's like, oh. I mean, I never saw
Yon. The fifth round, he came out taking the giant deep breaths.
The fifth round is when he was taking the deep breaths because the fourth he got hurt and had to just hold him.
No, he started hit him. I think the breathing started in the fourth and then it would really intensified in the fifth. Yeah. But yeah, I don't see any reason why that fight should happen for right now. Now, once again, if Izzy bulks up and puts on some weight and commits his body to going up, sure, like whatever. But what kind of cocaine is Eugene Berryman doing, or whatever his name is, if he thinks that Izzy and Jones is a bigger fight than Jones Stipe?
Yeah.
Both of those fights are bigger than the Izzy, especially at this point. Yeah. You just lost to that light heavyweight champion. That's not a big fight anymore.
What happens if John Jones loses, though?
I think that I said it that Nick back then. I think the fight, that's where you make it.
You know what was also interesting?
That'd be a good point to make. That'd be a good time to make
it. How much do we want to see it if they both come off losses?
I don't. But who wants to see it at two? I mean, John Jones is not, like, people. He's not going back down.
I get that.
He said he was,
he's like 260.
Last we knew, he was like 250. He's already up to 260. He's not coming back down.
No.
So unless Izzy wants to go up to like 220...
What I thought was interesting was the social media exhale from John Jones once Izzy lost. Felt like he was...
Oh, like the relief?
Yeah, I felt like he was probably anxious, like, if he wins this, it's going to be harder to keep.
Well, I think he knew it just intensify. Yeah. Like, you just got to keep... You got to keep giving it energy.
On social media, it just felt like a, whew, that's out the way now.
Yeah.
Now I can concentrate on being a heavyweight.
So here's with the John Jones and even Izzy... Because I know people said Izzy was afraid of Jones, and like, I joke and say stuff like that, too, just because it's fun to, you know, talk like that. And then I'm even going to take it full circle and I'm going to put in guys getting kneed in the head like Aljamain or Darren Stewart or the eye pokes from Bilal Muhammad. You just always see people on like, oh, he was scared or, oh, he's a baby. Mm. He didn't want to finish. Like, dude, the balls that these guys have to have just to sign a contract and say, I'll walk to that cage. And then they get in there and they do it. John Jones has fought. How many fights does he have? How many professional fights does Izzy have? They're not afraid of no one, son. These guys are the baddest dudes in the world. Mm-hmm. They're the best athletes in the world. I guarantee, like, if you told Max Holloway you're going to fight Stipe tomorrow, Max would show up.
He's been calling out DC.
I'm saying, like...
I think that there's a clarifying point with that, though.
Yeah.
I will agree, yes, they're probably not afraid of anybody, but I do think that they are fearful of what risk things pose to their reputation. Yeah.
Being a little realistic with matchups. I'm sure there's some of that goes on where it's like, you know, you look at a certain matchup and it's like, I just don't really match up with that guy well, or that'd be a tough fight for me to win. But to say that somebody's afraid, especially for a big payday, I mean, get real.
It's part of the gladiator thing of it, thinking, you know, especially when it becomes to like fan bias.
Yeah.
You know, you're invested in somebody and if they're not able to get the big fight or whatever, you kind of have to posture.
Yeah.
But I do think that, you know, it doesn't hurt because obviously the comment is definitely out of the box by Izzy's coach. But to keep him in a conversation, because Izzy can't really say anything right now. He just lost. If you're his coach, maybe that's what that is.
But it just looks stupid because he just lost.
Weird promotion.
It's an interesting. He also had an interesting comments after Hooker lost. I don't know if you guys saw that. Uh-huh. Hooker lost to Chandler Wright first round, and he just talked about what losses mean. He's like, I don't put really any stock into it.
Yeah.
It doesn't change anything. You know. And then it kind of, now this even more makes it raise the question, how much of this is your philosophy versus you trying to kind of bring up your fighter's stock? And
you know, I'll say this about City Kickboxing, man. Like, I think a lot of people had Eugene Coach of the Year last year and stuff like that. Let's kind of take a quick look ahead. If Riddle, well, we won't even include Brad Riddle. Just since that Hooker fight, they are like 1-5. Kai Kara-France won. Izzy lost. That light heavyweight dude lost. That light heavyweight dude lost. Maybe that's all they've had. So maybe they're out of four. But then if Riddle were to lose, I mean, this is a tough fight against Gillespie. Granted, one he could win. You know, that's 1-5. It's like City Kickboxing.
Still have Volkanovski still too, though. When you have multiple champions,
I don't think Volk's really with them. I think he crossed. So he. He goes and does a small portion of his camp there. But he said that because he doesn't live there in New Zealand, I think. And he's in like Australia, I want to say. So he said he only really goes there for like a small portion of his camp. I think Eugene is in his corner.
Yeah.
But he has like his own camp wherever he lives. But yeah, we can include him.
Yeah.
Because Eugene does coach him. But just kind of an interesting little thing to watch out for. Khabib, early coach of the year contender, right? undefeated.
Yeah.
Khabibi. He's undefeated. He really is.
Real quick, we'll throw out the RDA Islam.
Yeah, yeah.
They were going back and forth, and RDA said he'd fight Islam as long as if he wins, he gets his coach.
Yeah.
To fight Khabib. Khabib.
And Islam said, I'll make sure that Khabib gets to continue enjoying his retirement. Yeah.
That's a good fight, too, though.
Oh, I love that fight.
Sign me up.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Good fight.
I had one more thing was interesting. So Dana White came out and said he'd put $1 million on Askren beating Jake Paul in that boxing match.
Good.
And then,
Lord.
So that alone is talk worthy. But then Snoop Dogg came out and said, I'll put up two against you, Dana, if you can match it. And Snoop's backing up Jake.
I think Jake Paul came out and said he would put $2 million up too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dude, and we know Dana's got that money.
He does have that money.
And he has a gambling problem.
Who would just piss away? I mean, come on, Dana. Go to Ben's social media. Have you guys seen the sparring footage? Yeah.
He's putting out videos. Have you seen the videos that Ben puts out? It's almost laughable. Like it's almost like he's doing it on purpose.
I don't know if he's. That's what I'm saying.
This guy's been training with Tyron Woodley.
Yeah,
Anthony Pettis.
Dude, I swear when I see it, I feel like this is a joke. There's no way.
What if he goes in there and he's just swoof?
But we've seen him strike. That's the thing. You saw his Damian Maia fight.
Good.
It's not. And that's when
he does have a good chin.
Yeah, dude. Dude, go watch Jake. I mean, if you watch Jake Paul, I mean, that dude, say what you want, he trains like a legit professional athlete, like a legit professional boxer.
Yeah. I'm happy he's fighting somebody who knows how to take a punch and will give a punch back.
He will.
At the very least, somebody who's battle tested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you've never took a punch before and I punch you, you're going to just fall down and be like, why? What is happening here?
I've been seeing Nate Robinson. Like, go to like YouTube and I've been seeing like boxers breaking down Askren's like fights or like sparring. His boxing training that he's been putting out, and not many of them have anything good to say.
I'm actually very, as much as I was kind of joking about it before, undercard, uh-huh. Frank Mir and Antonio Tarver. Yeah, that's kind of weird a fun because one, right? Antonio Tarver isn't like a big dude.
Right.
In retirement, he's gotten big. Mm-hmm. And he was a good boxer.
Yeah.
But it's like when you get big like that, when you're talking about heavyweights,
yeah,
that's when things get more interesting because something can land.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That one's a little bit more interesting. But
yeah. Well, I don't have anything else. Do you guys have anything else?
Nope. That's it.
Brandon, before we leave. Anything to say? Last chance.
Legalize eye pokes, legalize knees to the head on a grounded opponent. Bring it back.
John, before we go, anything to say?
If Mighty Mouse Johnson was 155 pounds, he'd beat Khabib very easily. Go.
I like it. That's where we're going to leave it. To be continued. Brandon's turning red.
He almost said the F word. So,
he almost said this. We appreciate you guys listening to another week of the Neon Belly Podcast. We will be back next Monday at 8 a.m. per usual. Enjoy
the fights. Hug your mother.